Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all the traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, your mob. And you can also text us 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. Now, it is National Diabetes Week, and that's 12 to 18 July, and we're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Cooper. That's Mark Cooper, Head of Department of Diabetes from Monash University in Melbourne. A very good morning there, Professor Mark. How are you?
Good, thanks very much.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we are living in a different world at the moment in regarding COVID-19, but we still have a lot of problems regarding diabetes. It is National Diabetes Week, 12 to 18 July, and a very important discussion. How are we travelling in regards to diabetes in this country?
Well, unfortunately, it's not going away. And in general, there continues to be an increase in the development of diabetes, probably because of the ongoing obesity epidemic.
So the old phrase, old grandfather used to say, too much couch, not enough ouch. It's about us as individual taking control of our own health as well, isn't it? Discipline in that sense, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, you can't always avoid diabetes. Sometimes you have the genetics that's going to give you diabetes, but you can slow it down, and in some people you can prevent it just by exercise and good diet.
So just confirming what you just said there, picking on what you just said there, Professor Cooper, hereditary, so it can be passed on through genes, is that right?
Absolutely. There's no question type 2 diabetes is some people are more prone, and you'll hear about families where lots of people have had diabetes and therefore you're at risk if you're related to those people, and therefore you've got to do all the preventative measures to try and ward off diabetes.
So if we're talking genes, hereditary, and if you're aware of it being within the family blood, so to speak, you as an individual, you could do your bit to prevent it from happening to you?
That's right. You need to work to prevent it. That's right. And a lot of it is yourself. You need to exercise, yes, the right diet.
And we need to do a bit in that sense there. What are we talking about in regarding the training, the education across the board, especially with First Nation health organisations, is the word getting out there? Are we educating our mob, and do we have enough workers to and promotions to make it happen?
Well, we know that the Indigenous community is particularly at risk of developing diabetes, and we do have the educators and more nurses to help. But clearly, any education and increased emphasis will be helpful. And in a week like Diabetes Week, it's a great opportunity to remind people of the risk of developing diabetes.
Yes. And is it more so sugar?
Yeah, well, diabetes is basically an elevation in blood sugar, but it often comes with other problems. It comes with high blood pressure, which is common in the Indigenous community. It comes with abnormalities in your fat metabolism, and these are all part of the obesity problem.
I think when we talk about our First Nation communities, we talk about the so-called stores in remote areas don't have like the best health foods, you could say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that is the problem, because obviously you have to store food. It's a difficult climate for a lot of these issues, and there's a lot of pre-cooked or pre-packaged foods. Some of them are not ideal for a healthy lifestyle. We know that the healthy fresh foods generally are better for reducing obesity and reducing the risk of diabetes.
Look, I know some of our family members in communities have started their own garden patch. I mean, that's a great tool, isn't it? It's a good exercise, as well as bringing good food to the table.
I agree completely. First of all, there's the exercise component. There's also an emphasis on being healthy, fresh food. These are all in the right direction.
Fantastic. And the work with First Nation Health Organisation, we as First Nation people, black on black is the equation we run with. And having more health workers, First Nation people working with their people, that's a good tool as well.
Absolutely. It's very important. And we have funding from the government to do more work in this area, because not only do we want to improve the management of diabetes, but we want to reduce the complications of diabetes, because these are very common in the Indigenous communities, the kidney disease, the blindness that can occur with diabetes. And so that's one of the things we really have to do.
And regarding the pandemic we're in at the moment with COVID-19, do you think that has put a stronger effect on diabetes?
Well, fortunately, at this stage, the Indigenous communities have not been too badly affected by COVID, but COVID is a high risk for this population, because what we know is that people, although this has not been in the Indigenous community, in other communities, people with diabetes do worse if they get COVID. They've doubled the risk of mortality and the complications, so we need to avoid COVID in these communities.
Very much.
They are a vulnerable community.
Yes, yes. So look, heads up to your department and the work that you're doing in this space. It is Diabetes Week, and it's on the a national forum as such, and regarding educating people and putting it out there, and so we're aware of it, and we need to act on it and do our best to stay healthy.
And thank you for inviting me. Obviously, I wish I'd been in Cairns.
Sorry.
I'm stuck in wintry lockdown Melbourne.
Yes, thinking of you. And look, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you, Professor Cooper. Okay, you take care. Stay safe.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Professor Mark Cooper, Head of Department Diabetes at Monash University. And it is Diabetes Week, 12, 18 July. And look, just brings to your attention in regarding how you're travelling. Look at that man, that woman in the mirror, and how you're looking after that individual. You know, slow down with the sugar intake, more exercise, as I stated there, too much couch, not enough ouch, and it's about doing what you need to do, and we need to take a hold of that. And especially if you've got children, they're looking at you. So how you perform and how you exercise and what you eat, they're watching you. Smoking, drinking, all that sort of stuff, cut it out. And I come strongly with that advice, because Murray, don't drink, smoke or take drugs. High on life, that's where you need to be, your mob. High on life. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Bully, I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're housed at the First Nation Radio Station in Cairns, BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
Fighting no more. We are having a good time. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19, and looking about the effect that it has on all of us in all aspects and regarding health, but also education and also finance. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with CPA tax policy advisor Eleanor Kasipides and talk about the sustainable economic recovery post COVID-19 and such words as reflect, reimagine and reinvent comes to the table. We've got Eleanor on the line. Very good morning, Eleanor. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So regarding the world we're living in at the moment and COVID-19, we're talking post-COVID-19, but in regard to the sustainability for the economic recovery, and words mentioned here, reflect, reimagine and reinvent. So just elaborate on that, please, Eleanor.
Sure. So COVID-19, obviously, we look at things from a business perspective, and COVID-19's had a huge impact on so many businesses across Australia. So reflection is about taking stock of where you're at. A lot of businesses have had to wind down their operations, or they're sort of seeing what is going to happen in the next few months. And so it's an opportunity to just take stock of where you are, have some time to think. And while there's a lot of stress and financial pressures that may be experienced by businesses, it's also an opportunity to look at where you're at, maybe talk to your advisor and get a plan together. So what that plan is about reimagining. So let your imagination run wild. What are your strengths in your business? What do you love doing? What are you good at? And how can you turn that into something that you can move forward with? And sometimes when you go through that process of reimagining, you can then find ways to reinvent. So for a lot of businesses, they might not be online, for example, but reinvention might involve developing a website or new products that you can sell to tell your story, not only in Australia, but also through audiences overseas. Mm. So it's just that process, reflect, reimagine, reinvent, that can help business owners really think about how to get through this and how to recover.
Well, we didn't want COVID-19, something of a pandemic, to come to the table, but here it is. I think the old phrase is not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. So you're talking about reflect and reimagine and reinvent. I was thinking along the lines of not that we wanted a pandemic as such, but it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. The COVID-19, in a way, it could be for some people and some businesses an angel in disguise, so to speak, because the fact that people are reinventing or a fresh slate, so to speak, and changing with the new world. Yeah,
that's right. So we think that, you know, there's always the devil in disguise, and you can't necessarily see him coming. But there's also angels out there. So we're calling on the government to offer assistance, and the government agency, Indigenous Business Australia, has actually put together a package for Indigenous businesses, and that can be a lifeline. So it's also, I think, never waste a good crisis, and it's about being able to say, you know what, there are things I've wanted to change. There are things that I've wanted to try. Why not give it a go? Now
is the opportunity.
Time as any. That's right, that's right. And people, I think, are also willing to give others a go. So again, we're all in this together, right? So it's about just saying, you know, can you help me out? Or where can I get help? And there's nothing wrong with asking for help or finding out what's available to you, so that you can then turn that into something that can really take off.
And you mentioned the government support there. So in regards to, like, an example, the JobKeeper situation going through to September. So if people are running, starting their business now, then that should still run till September, so to speak, to support small businesses as such?
So JobKeeper, like with any government package, there are always conditions. So new businesses at the moment can't get access to JobKeeper. So there are rules about, you know, how long you've been in business and things like that. So it's always good to just check in with your advisor or tax agent, just to make sure that if you want to claim it, you are eligible. Indigenous Business Australia is providing priority, though, for working capital assistance for businesses, and the priority is being given to customers who aren't eligible for any other stimulus packages. So for Indigenous businesses, they do have perhaps a few extra options where they can actually access assistance of up to $100,000 via a loan and grant package. So again, it's about looking at what's available to you and asking for help and going to the government to see what they can do for you.
Well, we get very excited when we see our First Nation people in business, and it's a success breeds success, so to speak, principle. Like we get excited, and it then opens the door for other people to come to the table, start their own businesses. So we need more black successes in this world, is what we feel as in First Nation people, especially in the business world. So the support that IBA have got at the table, which is fantastic, and we need that support. In regard to, well, saving businesses folding, so to speak, yeah?
That's right. And a lot of government agencies and also private enterprises do have dedicated focus areas on, you know, procurement, making sure that they're checking out whether there's an Indigenous business available who can provide services. So, again, it's about taking a step back, looking at your market, looking at what people want, and whether you can establish or continue a business or reimagine your business to take advantage of those opportunities. And obviously there's such a rich culture and a rich history and a rich connection to country that if you can find a way to leverage that and to turn that into an opportunity, there's huge potential there. And while there are challenges, with online and digital connections, if you can pivot in a way where you can connect with the world and share everything that's so great about your culture, how to think about that and to get a good advisor to help you through that process and bring your community with you.
Exactly. Thinking of the old phrase, Eleanor, that we don't plan to fail, we just fail to plan. So it's about setting a plan of attack in regard to the future and recovery post-COVID-19, which is our topic, yes?
That's right. So planning is essential. And like all good plans, they're going to change over time. So you can set something up right now and in 3 months' time when JobKeeper ends or the government, you know, announces new packages, you might want to revisit that. You also have to take some risks and you've got to be able to check in and to see how you're going with the decisions that you've made and be really ready to evaluate those, to check whether it's working for you and pivot in a different direction if you need to.
Yes, fantastic. Well, we are students for life, so it's all a learning process, so to speak, in regard to new grounds that we come across, but be open-minded for the learning, so to speak, Eleanor.
Absolutely. And speaking of learning, the government's also announced a whole bunch of, you know, TAFE places, educational opportunities as part of COVID-19 recovery. So you might be in a place in your life where you're not quite sure what you want to do, or unfortunately you may have lost your job or you're not able to find employment where you've been used to. So there's also looking at who are you as a person, what are you interested in, can you go and get further education, or even just something brand new where you think you'll enjoy it, take advantage of the opportunities the government's putting out there for further education and to look at opportunities in those sectors.
Lovely, beautiful information. Thank you very much for sharing, Eleanor. All the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe. And there is light at the end of the tunnel regarding COVID-19. Hopefully, fingers
That's
crossed.
Right. Exactly. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Eleanor. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with Eleanor Cassapides, her name is. She's the CPA tax policy advisor, and we're just talking about the sustainable economy recovery post COVID-19, and small businesses and enterprises need to reflect, reimagine, or even reinvent the wheel, so to speak, regarding their business that they have up and running. All right, fantastic opportunity for your mob to look at or to have your say and add to the conversation regarding businesses or regarding any topic you want to talk about here on National Talk Black. I'm all ears here. The Baldy one, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
My people, my people. people, Aboriginal people. Don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my people.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
fighting through the traffic, we're homeward bound. There's people everywhere, everyone searching for their dream. New trends in fashion, cutting edge of life, pushing through.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by yarning on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up with Double D. That's David Davies, his name is, and he's the CEO of Agnunity. Agnunity, connecting the last mile. So a fantastic organisation, operating globally and won many awards, and talk about how they're solving poverty and solving connecting and smart apps and what have you. So on the line, David, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, David?
Oh, we're based down near the Gold Coast, a bit inland. Well, when I say based, I mean we've got 5 people here and the rest of the 30-odd people are spread around the world.
All around the world, fantastic. Yeah, so while you're on that subject, CEO of Agnunity, what is Agnunity? What do you guys do? And opportunity for First Nation people, especially in communities, yes?
Yeah, it is. There's definitely an opportunity in First Nations, but right now we work in a lot of developing countries. We've got 3 projects in Papua New Guinea, a couple of projects in Ethiopia, as well as Sierra Leone, Trinidad, Tobago, Kenya, Uganda, Indonesia, so quite a few others. We work with kind of a variety of partners like, you know, World Food Program, mm-hmm. and their trade organisation for coffee. And typically very good ethical organisations, we partner with them.
Yep.
And the main thing we do is, I mean, in most cases, we're giving farmers their first phone. And when I talk about farmers, I mean most of the people we're working with, they're earning like $1 or $2 a day. They're well below the poverty line. They're struggling on a daily basis just to, you know, have enough money to eat or pay school fees.
Mm-hmm.
We give them their first phone, but it's no ordinary phone. It's been designed specifically for people who've never had a phone before.
And coverage, no matter where you are?
Well, we can't solve the coverage because that depends on towers, but what we do is we make the phone so they can work phone to phone when you've got no signal, so they communicate just through simple QR codes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a farmer in New Guinea and we're in an area where there's no coverage, I can hand over my coca beans to a cooperative or buyer, and we can record that transaction even if there's no signal. And then when the cooperative guy goes back, he'll write the transaction. So the phones work a bit, you know, quite differently to normal phones.
Sure.
And we use that same bit of technology in Australia for wool growers who are collecting data in the field where there's no signal, and we use that same platform to use remote data collection devices. And then in New Guinea, we're sticking up some kind of relay towers that are sort of act like a kind of Wi-Fi, create a Wi-Fi hotspot around the village and then connect to the cellular, so all the farmers don't need to pay for their own data plans and stuff.
So mainly in the agricultural sector is where your business lies, as well as communication and, well, I said, solving poverty and connecting and getting farmers involved in the business world, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we work with a few fishermen, but mostly in mostly small-scale farmers. We tend to concentrate on coffee and cocoa because they're great crops. I mean, we've seen farmers double or triple their income in a season after they've started working together on our platform. So, and that's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
People that are previously earning, you know, $500 or $600 a year are now earning well over $1,000 a year.
Sure.
And that allows you to change your life.
Exactly. Well, doubling any income, that's more money at the table, isn't it?
Exactly. We'd all be pretty happy if we
double the income, exactly.
And it's even more critical in these areas because, you know, they've gone from being hand to mouth to being able to say, you know, afford a bit of extra land or buy some seedlings or maybe a solar lighting kit for the house.
Yes.
These things really change people's lives.
Now, we're living in a first world country here in Australia, but then you look at some of our First Nation communities, I struggle a bit in regard to the remoteness of it. Has Agnunity engaged with our First Nation people as such?
We've been looking for an opportunity for a long time, and
okay.
It's, you know, growing up in a rural Australia myself, it's one of the things that would be dear to my heart to find the right sort of product in Australia, because we'd love to extend it into the northern communities. I personally think there is a fantastic opportunity to look at some of the indigenous food crops in Australia.
Yes.
And the farmers collaborate into, you know, one of the things that we do in developing markets is by getting really small farmers together in a group of, say, 100, they get scale of efficiency. So they can, you know, they can share equipment or they can sell together. And selling together is usually the key. Because a farmer growing a couple of bags of coca a year or coffee, nobody really wants to trade with them. It's too small. But once you've got 100 together, they're producing...
That's buying power.
Yeah, they're producing a container every couple of months. So they can get really good buyers. They can get better prices. The buyers are much happier to deal with them. And I think with things like, you know, Kakadu plum and some of the other indigenous things, there's probably a similar opportunity in Australia.
So I'm talking, what I'm picking up is JV, joint ventures with different communities working together, if not the same products and using the same equipment as us, sharing that, that could create a strong platform to engage in the business world using their produce.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's definitely great opportunities in Australia for this one. It's certainly, you know, there's some... We can do things with the towers as well, so we create connectivity in those areas. There's a lot that can potentially happen. We've been, you know, looking around in Australia for the right opportunity because we are a bit you know, we've probably got over 20 different countries at the moment wanting to do projects with us, but if we can find the right one in Australia, we'll put that straight to the top of the list, of course.
Well, exactly. I mean, your charity starts at home, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And And so how did it all come out? You're the CEO. How long have you been CEO, David?
Oh, I started the company. So I'm one of the original two founders. We it actually started in a most unusual way. We were working on another bit of banking technology. That was my background. I worked in really big banking, so Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers, and okay. I was a global head at Standard Chartered Bank. And we had been working on some technology for banking. And we happened to get invited to a conference in London, and my co-founder, he went along to there, and they had a hackathon. A hackathon's like kind of an idea and programming competition.
Yeah, that sounds like a swearing word in business, hackathon.
So, he gave me a call. I was in Australia at the time, and he gave me a call, and he said, we got to come up with a really big idea, because the organisation providing the prize was an organisation called Singularity University, and they're kind of a think tank in California. If anyone knows the X Prize, you know, the competition of getting a private rocket into space, that was run by the same people behind Singularity University. And they're really big thinkers. They say, you know, don't solve a problem for a million people if you can solve a problem for a billion people.
Yes.
And so that's what we did in this competition. We thought, what could we do that would help a billion people in the world? Mm. And if you want to do that, you've really got to look at, you know, the poorest billion, which is low-income farmers make up 95% of the lowest income people in the world.
Yes.
And the idea was just, you know, give them technology that's relevant to them. So we presented at that competition and we won it, but more importantly, Costa Peric, who was the...
But David, you're also talking about people who are on the ground, people who are on their own land, and who are strong workers anyway. And if you give them more tools or an opportunity and, hey, say, paint the vision, that empowers them, yes?
Oh, absolutely. That's all we're doing. We often say that, you know, the farmers that we've worked with have increased their income. We don't do that. We just give them some tools that are relevant to them. So the difference is, if you give a phone to a farmer in New Guinea, you know, he can get music and stuff on, he can make calls, but it doesn't really do anything to help him earn money or, you know, or be more efficient. So what we do is we take that phone and we make it do the things that are relevant to earning money. So, you know,
being productive with the advice, tool.
We just make it relevant to them.
Good.
You know, when we buy a phone, it works for Uber and all the things we use.
Mm.
But if you're in a
check
really
out YouTube,
you know, Uber and YouTube and
that's
Facebook,
right.
They're not much good to you, really.
No, that's right.
So we put a platform on it, and we change the operating system. We make it workable for their community. And then what the key is, they actually, you know, in every case, the farmers have actually changed their lives themselves. Once they can work together and they can cooperate, they know what they're meant to do.
Sure.
You know, exactly. People often look at, you know, low-income people and think, you know, they're only earning a couple of dollars a day. That doesn't mean that those people are any less smart than you or I.
Exactly.
If they had a bit more chance in life, they could have been a doctor or a lawyer.
Well, they're way behind the starting line, so to speak. If you and I was to start a business in Sydney, they are well behind the starting line. So it's just bringing them up to the starting line. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. It's trying to level the playing field out a bit.
Yes.
Create an opportunity. And then, you know, there's innovative and smart people in every group. And they'll usually, you know, set the example for the others and help guide other people. And then the whole community, like we've seen whole villages completely transformed by this, because once the farmers start earning more, they spend more money in the shops, and you know, they're traveling more into town and they're educating their kids better,
networking, making money, providing a better community in regard to tools, water, electricity, all the above, employment, and the old phrase, high tide rises all ships.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Fantastic.
And that's really the basis of this. Once you lift the lowest income people in society, everyone else benefits. You know, the shopkeepers who are already doing okay, they've suddenly got a booming business because they're selling, you know, better equipment into the area. Very importantly, the farmers can afford things like solar lighting kits so their kids can read at night. The kids can go to school more because they don't have to help out on the farm or help out with other work.
Yes.
Farmers got money for school fees.
Look, I'm picking up a attitude or a fantastic opportunity, business opportunity, that's good for the soul, you know. You created a business there, but like I said, creating an opportunity for people on the land and making success stories across the globe. Fantastic.
Yeah, look, our whole team, we've got a quite extensive team and a lot of them come from similar background to myself.
Like, yeah.
We brought a number of people from the big banks across to join this company, and you know they were earning, you know, ridiculous money before.
Sure.
But we wouldn't do anything else because, you know, this is the best job in the world.
Best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up, and you guys are doing that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want to tell your grandkids when you retire, right?
Exactly.
You know, I worked for years in banks helping wealthy people make more money, or I lifted people lift themselves out of poverty.
Good. Now, for our First Nation mob out there, if they want to get in touch with Ag Unity, it's online, Ag Unity, that's agunity.com. And we'll put in any queries that they may have, or a concept, an idea, and have a talk to you, David, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We like I say, we're really keen to find just the right project. So if anyone's working on a, you know, community farming project or fishing or anything like that, please do reach out to us and we'll do our utmost to try to work on a joint venture project with them.
Double D, nice talking to you. Thank you very much, David. Beautiful yarn. All the best to you and your deadly team. Stay safe and stay in touch, my friend.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Pleasure speaking to you and greatly appreciate being covered on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye.
Deadly yarn there. His name is David Davies and he's the CEO of Ag Unity. And for your mob out there working on land and community, what have you, you can come up with a concept or an idea and produce, whether it be, you mentioned dark plum or black plum or whatever, bananas, whatever. Great idea. And if you want a hand up, so to speak, in regarding getting your business up, opportunity running strong and connecting with manufacturers as such and get your produce across that way, it can create a beautiful movement in your community regarding employment and all the stuff that's needed. So, look, fantastic. So, agunity.com.au, check it out, your mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. About 9 minutes left on the program. Have your saying, yarn up strong. Here, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with the bully round, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. Taking right through 12 noon. We've got 9 minutes, your mob.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
open up my heart, set my spirit free.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Nils provides a safe and affordable alternative to payday loans or rent-to-buy, products which promise fast cash but often compound a person's financial situation. Loans up to $1,500 are available. Repayments are set up to an affordable amount over 12 to 18 months. There are no fees, no charges, no interest. To be eligible for NILS, you must have a healthcare or pension card, earn under $45,000, $60,000 for joint applicants or people with children, and you must be able to repay the loan. NILS is based on trust and respect. To inquire about NILS loans, call Shaq in Cairns on 4080-7400. That's 4080-7400. Shaq is a local NILS provider for Good Shepherd Microfinance.
Station sponsor.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Starting with What a Man, Jessica Mowboy. Big shout out to my sister, your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to go to Tony Gibbs. My brother, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Morning, everybody. I'd like to respond to the fellow one before about ag unity and stuff.
Yeah.
But in Australia, the farmers have already got all the leases, you know, the land.
Hmm.
That's the Crown land, as the leases. They've already got all the land. They've already taken every Crown lease, is land taken from Murray's, right?
Yes.
And then they come on here with all their sophisticated. I'm trying to talk black and keep the show grassroots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I listened yesterday, Daniel DeFuin, and all these tourism people crying. Well, they're all on the dole queues now, you know. They're all getting a First Nation education on how to get by on, you know. But when they come on Black and farmers are sort of, I can't handle it, mate. They're on the wrong platform, you know, and then we all listen to all the professors and everything in your health, and it's all important, but we're not getting our local issues out. We can't get on, and I feel sorry for you and your position there with government run radio, you know. I dream of a radio station, mate. I'd call it Headband Waveband, and you've got free speech. But I know we cannot talk freely, because the whole Barrier Reef thing is to do with farming, and they're responsible for so much destruction. And I say it again, there's people coming on the show that it's the wrong platform.
Sure.
And in a way, they're jamming us, you know. And I was... that take, mate, I want to withdraw that. It's a bone of contention, and I know it won't get paid, so I'm going to ask for it back because I'm sorry for you because, like you said, it's the backroom boys that make all the decision, and you're the brave man in the chair that's...
Brother, I hear your point. I've got to go to news, but give us a call tomorrow so we can continue that conversation, my brother. That's our Tony Gibbs, your mob. I've got to sign off. Got the news coming up very soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Thanks for your company.